Welcome back to WHQR's live candidate forum. This is part two. We're joined by five of the six candidates running for three open seats and a live studio audience. If you're just joining us, incumbent Charlie Rivenbark, who is also seeking re-election, suffered a medical emergency earlier today and is unable to be with us tonight. He sends his regrets, and of course, we send him good wishes for a speedy recovery. Asking questions of our candidates tonight, WWAY's Kevin Wizzardo and WHQR, Katie O'Reilly. I'm moderator Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We are going to continue where we left off. Katie, would you repeat your question again for Earl Sheridan?
Yes. Do you have any ideas for improving or expanding public transportation in Wilmington?
I think public transportation is extremely important, not only because it's a way of transportation for people who are indigent or who are unable to travel otherwise, and it's an important economic tool for them to get to employment. But I think it's important environmentally as well. And I think one of the things we really need to do are to expand those people who ride the bus because they want to save on gas or that kind of thing. I think we need to do more with maybe advertising to those people, trying to pitch the bus system not just to people who are not able to do other kind of transportation, but people who might want to ride the bus. We might want to try to experiment at some point with something like park and rides or express lines or something of that nature to try to appeal to some folks who haven't been riding WAVE transit. I think the future of WAVE lies in WAVE not only being seen as a social service kind of thing, but with the buses being seen as something that everybody might want to ride.
Thank you. Skip Watkins, same question.
Katie, we've done about five forums, and you're the first person to ask us about that 800-pound gorilla in the room. I've talked about it many times. You'll always hear me talk about perception. You know, just because I say there's three sides to every story, your side, my side, and somewhere in between. Perception of many people in Wilmington about WAVE is they see some of the large buses that are basically empty riding around town. And it does not endear them towards supporting something like that. I have friends that ride WAVE. I've had family members that have ridden WAVE and would probably continue to ride WAVE. So I understand the social need for it, but I personally believe WAVE needs a total reevaluation. A lot of the money, it was been alluded to earlier, a lot of the money comes from federal and state for equipment where the city and the county are more in charge of operation. But could we find a way to maybe reduce some of the sizes of the buses? Let's look at, we must meet the needs of the handicapped and the ADA, American Disabilities Act. But personally, I'm not in favor of dismantling WAVE by no means. But I think it needs a total reevaluation. I have a business associate in the Charlotte area who is a mass transit expert, has actually run two cities and currently runs their own private bus system. And she has alluded several times that the city of Wilmington's WAVE transit in the county, whatever you want to call it, WAVE, should be overhauled. And so it's going to take a checkup from the neck up.
Thank you. Derek Bickle.
Well, I don't think we should overhaul the system. I think we should expand the system. You know, I don't think we should spend the money to downsize buses and take away some of those heavily traveled routes so people don't have access. You know, it's number one way of transport for seniors getting to the doctor, for someone that doesn't have a car to get to their jobs. We need the county to step up and increase their funding. I think that is number one with WAVE public transit. We have to get them to the table. You know, obviously, you know, as Skip just said something about Charlotte and maybe downsizing, overhaul. Charlotte's 10 times the size of Wilmington. We're the second smallest county in the state. We need to have a public transportation system that reaches out to everyone. But we need the county to step up and give us the funding that it deserves and stop having the city to foot most of the bill.
Thank you. And Katie, would you repeat the question? This goes to Mr. Felix Cooper.
Yes, Mr. Cooper, do you have any ideas for expanding or improving public transportation in Wilmington?
I do have several ideas. They're not in a form right now that can be laid out and explained, but I have several ideas about transportation and about dealing with people that use the transportation system and are not city or county residents. And it's a very concerned thing with me that people are paying or using these facilities and are not paying for them.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry, were you finished, Mr. Cooper?
I'm through, yes, that's enough.
Okay. All right. This is part two of our live Wilmington City Council Candidates Forum. We do have some questions from the audience here in the studio. We also have some questions that have been emailed in, and if time permits, we may go back to our two journalists, WWAY's Kevin Wizzardo and WHQR's Katie O'Reilly, for further questions. This portion will be followed by opening statements. Sir, would you please state your name and then read your question?
Avenue near MP Park. Chief Evangelist has suggested that the salaries of police officers be raised in order to attract and keep good officers. How do you feel about that, considering that a tax increase might be needed to accomplish that goal?
Thank you. And we'll begin with Earl Sheridan.
I think we should raise the salaries of our police officers, of our firefighters, and really of many of our other city workers as well. Again, I think we mentioned earlier that during the economic downturn, we weren't able to give raises to many of our city employees, but we've started to reverse that already. They got raises this year, and I think the plan is that that will be a priority for our city employees to continue to get raises to try to bring them up to a level that is commensurate with that of other if it's police officers or firefighters of other workers in the state. You know, I'd like to see if we can do it without a tax increase, but we'll look and see where we go as far as that's concerned. But I do believe that those salaries need to be increased.
Thank you. Skip Watkins.
John, thanks for the question. You may not realize that we're almost neighbors. I spoke to Chief Evangelist about this one time. Public safety, everybody up here is running, and I know Charlie would say the same thing, is our number one priority of city government. We have had several police officers apply at the sheriff's department. I know for a fact that it's approximately a 15% differential between a city firefighter at lower levels and a county firefighter, but there are levels as they go up. There's some changes in that. Chief Evangelist had mentioned, and I think most of the council probably knows this, that he wants to do a total reevaluation of their pay structure. He mentioned bringing an experienced officer in from another community, perhaps, and here's an experienced Wilmington officer that's been loyal to our community for years, and the new guy's making more money than he is. It's not fair. And Dr. Sheridan is correct. All of our city employees are critical, but we're a training ground, and we're getting people certified and are going to other communities. We've got to keep good officers and good firefighters. I will say in capital letters, John, L-A-S-T, the last place I would ever go for something like that would be a tax increase. I mentioned earlier about going line by line in the budget, but if, capital I, if, I ever felt that was the need, I think we could encourage, council would go to the community. We'd have to go to the people and say, hey, if you disagree or what is your input, come to council. We have a wonderful structure for our city government, and everybody that is a citizen of this city has a right to be heard. So the last place, John, would be tax increases. But if that were necessary, then the people would be invited, and I would invite them, and I'm sure council would. But we've got to do something about it.
Thank you. Derek Bickle.
You know, I think I answered that in my first question. Obviously, we're overworked, underpaid, understaffed. They need a raise. And not just police, but all first responders need to have a raise. That is the backbone of our community. You know, I think there was a survey done internally for the Wilmington Police Department a few months ago and showed about the low morale. Well, obviously, somebody that's going to be overworked and underpaid is going to have low morale. We need to stop being a training ground for other cities. And, you know, having to, as I said, you know, it's vital that we have the same police officers on the street. We need to pay them more so they want to stay here. So the relationships that they've built with youth, with even gang members, even with, you know, their leads on the street, those are all vital. And you can't have that high turnover and expect to have those relationships. So that's something that we need to look at and needs to be done.
Thank you. Mr. Felix Cooper.
I think the public safety officers should be paid for what they're worth and what contribution they make to the city. And if it's not enough, then I think they ought to be increased. If it's too much, I think they ought to be downgraded. Now, as far as the taxes are concerned, if that's a necessity, yes, I think it'll have to be that way. But you can't skip on something like that.
Thank you. Kevin O'Grady.
John, thanks for the question. But actually, the issue goes beyond just the public safety officers. In our last budget session last year, a presentation from our human resources people indicated that not just public safety officers, but across the board, our employees tend to be paid less than other comparable cities, or the cities we compare ourselves to, and less than the private sector. So we have tried to make adjustments. This year, base rate increase, 2%, with some discussion. I certainly advocated that we split the raise, 2% for base, but then 1.5% for merit, which meant the best employees could get as much as 5%. And then, a lot of our employees forget, we also restored 1% to their 401k. So there was a significant raise this year, especially for the highest quality employees. There are some structural issues that were alluded to. Since we have been raising the salary, some of the newer officers coming in are coming in higher, and it's creating some hard feelings. As we all learn in school, salary is a dissatisfier. It's something that makes you unhappy with your job. And there are people who are unhappy. And we are going to be addressing in our coming year, in the coming budget session, whether we can make some structural changes in the salaries. I will never say there can never be a tax increase. We face this. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's in our budget sessions. There's no platitudes in there. You can't dismiss it with a platitude or a countryism. You actually have to deal with the problem. So the last one of these we had, there was a fireman there asking the question. And I said, we'd like to give you more money. Turn around and look at these folks. They're going to have to pay you. It got kind of quiet when he realized that the people who have to pay him are sitting right there next to him. That's what we face. That's the decisions we have to make. And we do them. And we did it this past
time.
Year.
Thank you. Before we go to our next audience question, I'd like to read a question that was emailed in from Daniel, who says he's a contributing writer for The Seahawk, a UNCW student publication. And Daniel says, incentives and tax exemptions are being granted to companies such as PPD and Verizon to create white-collar career opportunities in Wilmington. What is being done to bring blue-collar jobs to the area for those who did not graduate from college? And we will begin with Skip Watkins.
Thank you, Rachel. There is a recent study that will be coming out, or it's not come out yet, but the overwhelming desire in Wilmington is for blue-collar jobs. We have a wonderful organization, Wilmington Business Development, headed up by Scott Satterfield. The state, whether you agree or disagree with everything that was done recently, they did lower corporate and personal income taxes, which will make the state of North Carolina more attractive to business in that regards. But it's part of the free enterprise system. We've got to make Wilmington attractive. There are amenities that we can improve. We have a coast. The largest majority of the people in America live within an hour of a coast. So we have a natural beauty that they're going to come enjoy. So when we get our traffic under control, when we get our crime under control, I think those natural improvements will make Wilmington overall more attractive. But unfortunately, it's going to take the public sector, so it's going to be a recruiting push to bring those jobs in. Because you're right, the service industry and the white-collar industry cannot support it. We've got to have something in the middle. So it's going to be recruiting and groups like WDI and maybe the city of Wilmington bringing in a recruiting expert as well on staff.
Thank you. Derek Bickle.
Just to play off what Skip just said, that's we need an economic business person, development person on staff of the city to work for the city as a whole. You know, we have these great organizations that work: Wilmington Downtown, Wilmington Business Alliance. You know, look at certain areas or certain specific areas. We need somebody on staff that looks at the city as a whole and brings them in. You know, it was a shame when American Crane left all their production jobs, and now that's just an empty warehouse sitting out there. You know, I think that's something that we need to look at. We don't have a lot of land to develop, obviously, left in the city. So we need to look at those jobs that have left and look at those areas and say, hey, Wilmington's a great, we have the ports, we have the infrastructure, we have the roads, we have the interstate system. This is a great area for not only white-collar jobs, but blue-collar jobs as well. But we need to get somebody on staff that understands that and drives that business to our area.
Thank you. Mr. Cooper, incentives and tax exemptions are being granted to companies that are creating white-collar jobs in the area. What is being done or what should be done to bring blue-collar jobs to the area for those who didn't graduate from college?
I don't know what's being done. I'm sure that this is an issue before the present city council, and I'm sure they're doing everything in their power to get it done, but I just can't answer that right now.
Do you have ideas about what should be done, what could be done?
Well, incentives are great if they produce, and the incentives have got to be matched with the value to that for that incentive, and everything's got to be analyzed, and the pluses and the minuses have got to be put in place. And I think certainly there's a need for what we call blue-collar jobs, and I'm not real sure what a blue-collar job is. You can find some people that don't have a college education, that have a technical job, that their need to that particular industry is way more than what they're getting paid for. And I think that incentives are very good, but we have a good city here. We've got a lot of things going for us. And I'm not sure that incentives are the only answer to getting these jobs.
Thank you. Kevin O'Grady, same question.
First, I point out that in the last 4 years, there's only been two incentives that the city has given, and both of those were for technology-type jobs. But I think the questioner overlooks the biggest incentive of all, and that's the film incentive, well, the most important of all of them. And that generates blue-collar jobs. Go buy one of the movie sets, and you're going to see carpenters and electricians and painters and technicians and production assistants. And those are blue-collar workers that have good jobs because we have a film industry. The film incentive is very important to our area, and we have to, everybody out there in the sound of my voice, needs to be contacting our legislative delegation and insisting that they get it extended in the short session next year. Because if it's not, our movie industry is dead. So we need to do that. As to others, Cape Fear Community College probably needs to redirect some of its courses to technical skills and construction skills, because when these folks that we're attracting with the incentives, the people with the computer technology jobs, when they come here, they're going to want to build houses and they're going to want to fix roofs and they're going to need blue collar workers to work for them. Everybody will benefit from those incentives.
Thank you. Earl Sheridan.
I think having a diversity of jobs, being white-collar and blue-collar, are important. I think it's blue-collar jobs are particularly important as far as providing jobs and opportunities to, again, economic development in general, important in dealing with some of our crime issue. We need to provide opportunities for people. And so as many jobs as we can provide, that will be important. I believe in the use of incentives, if necessary. I think those can be utilized not only for white-collar jobs, but for blue-collar jobs as well. I think some of it is, I think, outside of the city's purview. I think education is important. Perhaps going back to vocational aspect or vocational school or track in some of our schools might be an important aspect as far as that is concerned. And so, again, I think there are various things and various ways that we can look in order to try to provide blue-collar jobs. I look across our city, I look at certain, there are some empty former factories and buildings that are lying empty here. Maybe there's something that we can do to try to find ways to put some businesses in those buildings. And I certainly agree with the idea of maybe having someone on staff that is dedicated to economic development might help us to attain that. Thank you.
Thank you. If you're just joining us, you're tuned to a special live broadcast of the Wilmington City Council Candidates Forum. We're joined by 5 of 6 candidates running for 3 open seats, as well as a live studio audience asking questions of our candidates tonight. We've had 2 journalists here, Kevin Wizzardo from WWAY and Katie O'Reilly from WHQR. I'm moderator Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Cleve Callison, did we have another audience question?
Yes, we did, Rachel. This question comes from Hank Estep. If the city were to have a need to request a tax assessment, what would your response be, tax or no tax?
And we'll have Derek Bickle answer that question first.
A tax assessment for, he'd be more, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's, tax assessment for what? So I don't know how to answer the question, I'm sorry.
I don't know what he meant either. Anyone? Mr. Cooper, would you like to take a crack at that?
There is a need for tax increase, and there's always a need when you have a situation, and you can't completely eliminate the idea of a tax increase. It's got to come if there's a need for it. The law requires that, and I don't know how to answer the rest of it either, but it's a very complicated question. But I'm not in favor of tax increases, but I am in favor of increasing the taxes when you have the legal need for it.
Thank you. Kevin O'Grady.
It might be a terminology issue, because the question was put in the terms of tax assessment, and the city doesn't make assessments. The county does the property tax assessment. That's just determining the value of land. What you always have to remember is the way we get our tax money is we take the value of the land and we multiply it by a rate. The city has no say in the assessment. The county decides that. We only get to decide the rate. That's why when there is an assessment, they always tell us what would be a revenue-neutral rate. In other words, where would we have to adjust our rate to collect exactly the same amount of money as we had the previous year? That's where we come in. We get to decide what the rate will be. So that's why I talk about growth. Because if we can grow, if we make the tax base bigger, that means the total assessment of the city becomes larger and the same tax rate produces more money. That's the way we can try to keep your rate down. But we really have no control over the assessment. That's done every 4 or 6 years by the county. Sometimes it goes up and sometimes it goes down. In fact, last assessment, it went down largely in this city, and even though we added the 3 cents for the improvement program, about 60% of the people in the city paid the same or less tax because their property values went down while the rate went up a little bit. So when you're dealing with property taxes, it's that complicated balance between assessment and rate that determines how much you're going to pay.
Thank you. Earl Sheridan.
I didn't really understand that question, and so rather than say something and be all off about it, I'm not sure I can answer it because, as Kevin said, the terminology was kind of off, and I'm not going to try to answer that.
That's fair. Skip Watkins.
Mr. O'Grady addressed the two thoughts. One of the two thoughts came in my head, so I'm gonna leave the property tax and let him answer that, as he did well. The only other thing I could guesstimate about a tax assessment and whether it's legal or not, whether the city can do it, I honestly don't know. But perhaps the questioner is asking, instead of permanently raising taxes, if there were a need, if there might be a one-time assessment for whatever need. I said it earlier to John, last place I'd go is a tax increase. The next to the last place, if that was the questioner's person, the person's question was relating to a special one-time tax for whatever purpose, possibly. But again, I don't want to raise taxes. I mean, not a person in this audience, not a person out there in radio land wants their taxes increased. If the question was related to a one-time assessment over a permanent tax increase, that might be more palatable to the public. Let's say that.
Thank you. I have another emailed question. Number one, and this will go first to Felix Cooper. This is a two-part question. Where do you stand on the question of should Wilmington have a public access television channel? And two, if you believe that the city should have a public access channel, what will you do to make that a reality if elected?
One of the main drawbacks or holdups for public access television channels is the carrier itself. And I think that if the city should get a public access television channel, it must negotiate with the carrier in the area. And I think it would be a great idea, but it probably should come as a given entity to another relationship. I'm not sure what the current law is on the access to the. I don't know what the city has, what rights the city has to a television station. I know in some cities it's negotiated between the city or the county and the carrier. And I think if that's negotiated successfully, I think it'd be a great idea. But it certainly shouldn't be a very expensive idea, I don't think.
Thank you. Kevin O'Grady.
Well, Earl and I have been championing this issue, so we'll probably sound alike on it. We're trying to get the council to address a public access channel. The fact of the matter is we haven't brought it to a vote because if we did, we'd lose. There aren't enough votes yet, but we're trying to move the issue forward. Where it stands right now is we have asked the city manager to put out a request for proposal, basically to companies who run public access channels in this state to make a proposal to us on how they would do one for us so that we can see the reality of what such a proposal would look like. There is only limited funding available. In the state of North Carolina, $4 million is put aside each year, paid by the cable company, I think it's all Time Warner, cable companies pay a franchise fee, $4 million of that is given by the state to pay for a public access channel. If there's one station, they get $4 million. If there's 4 million stations, they each get a dollar. That's how it works. They just divide it up equally. So by adding another station, everybody's going to get a little less, and we'll get whatever that quotient is. It's not enough money to run a station. So you have to look at other ways to raise money. You probably have to be some kind of a nonprofit that'll go out and try to seek money from the public to support it. But like I say, right now, just not enough will on the council to pass it, and we, of course, have not called for a vote.
Thank you. Earl Sheridan.
Kevin is correct. He and I have been championing that idea of a public access channel. I think such a channel could be good, but there are issues as far as the costs are concerned. There are also some legal issues that may be involved as well. We have asked for an RFP, and I think, really, I think most of the council has been behind the idea of at least some sort of RFP to look and see if there's some sort of private entity or some sort of entity that can do the public access channel. And I will continue to push for that RFP so we can see if there's someone that can offer such a channel. Thank you.
Thank you. Skip Watkins.
The RFP is probably the correct way to go. There's obvious enough interest in the city. At least this question is not the first time it's come to one of these forums. But there's also a question of assigning programming. You know, who gets certain airtime? So there's a lot of decisions that would have to be made, and it's not something that's going to happen quickly. And I think we had one for a while, and we no longer have it. I think that may speak to part of the challenges that exist with a public access. But I think that the backbone of the question is perhaps a level of transparency, maybe. And we already do have the city council meetings, county commission meetings, school board meetings are publicized on television and on internet. So, I don't really have a very strong answer, but that's the kind of guy I am. If I don't know, I'll tell you, but I'll find out.
Thank you. Derek Bickle.
Obviously, I'm for it. It's reaching everybody. Not everybody has the internet. Not everybody has cable television. But obviously, what it boils down to is funding. I mean, obviously, I think all the listeners out there and you all know here, WHQR just went through a big fundraising. It's getting that funding. Is it going to come from the public? Is it going to come from the federal government? Where is it going to come from? But obviously, everybody deserves and access to the transparency of city council government and for the city television in general, just so we can get the word out there of city services, lifelines, numbers to call, that type of stuff when there's not a meeting going on. Everybody needs to have access to that.
Thank you. And we'll now turn to Kevin Wizzardo of WWAY for the next question. Kevin, would you direct the question to Kevin O'Grady?
You're all here because you love the city, I'm sure. So I'm going to ask you a strange question. Without using crime as the answer, name one thing you hate about Wilmington that you think you could fix if elected. And I won't believe you if you say nothing. What's something that just really just drives you nuts that you think you could fix if elected?
Well, you make it an easy question for me because I ran on it last time. I was very disturbed about the quality of life downtown due to our bar culture. And I did something about it. I ran and said I was going to do something about it, and unfortunately, when you get elected, then you have to do it, and I did. And I went up to Raleigh. You know, we don't have any control over alcohol licensing in this state. It's crazy. We have no control at all. So we had to go up to – I went up to Raleigh. I met with the chairman of the ABC Commission, and I persuaded him that he has a statute that says he's supposed to consider density of bars. And he said, yeah, I know that, but I don't know how to measure it. So I said, well, I know how to measure. I'm going to measure it for you. Let us do it for 4 years. And he let us have it for 4 years. By the way, it runs out next year. Somebody's going to have to go back up there next year. I submit to you. I know who's the best capable of doing that, but you choose. I got him to agree. We put a density restriction on. We have 15% fewer seats at the bar today than we did 4 years ago. Because of that, the chief and the DA saw there was political will, and they cracked down on some of the worst bars. And I think it's pretty universally accepted that downtown is a much safer place than it once was and a more respectable place where it has a better reputation than it did 4 years ago. So, yeah, there's one I did, Kevin.
Earl Sheridan.
I hate that there is... There's economic inequality here. There's poverty here. Wilmington is a beautiful place, but if you go a few blocks from here, there are some areas that don't look very nice. And I know you said not to mention crime, but I think that impinges on our crime situation. And so I'd like to do more to try to address that poverty. Recently, I think last year, we did a poverty conference out at the university, and I had occasion to to look at the census statistics on poverty in our city, and they were up. It was up around 21-22%, and that just I was amazed at how high that was. And so that's something that I would like to address. I think economic development and trying to create jobs is one way of trying to deal with that, and that's one thing that I would try to do if reelected.
Thank you. Skip Watkins.
Dr. Sheridan stole my thunder. I don't hate much about Wilmington, but I like to say traffic, but I really don't know what the solution to that might be. But I think it's the economy right now. I mean, I've got friends of mine, y'all do too, some of you are listening tonight, that don't, they've lost their job, whether they were in the construction industry or support industries. And I think that council, and I mentioned earlier about jobs, I mentioned Wilmington Business Development, but one part I didn't, and I'm actually glad you asked this because it gives me a chance to bring this forward. The council's, city council's focus is the 49 square miles, the 110,000 people of Wilmington. That's our focus, will be our focus. But if we get a jobs, if it's something, a plant opens up in Brunswick County, if a plant opens up in the unincorporated of our county, if something opens up in Pender County, the citizens are still going to benefit. The money multiplier is still going to come into effect. So I think I just hate the current economic and lack of jobs in Wilmington if I had to pick a hate. There's other things I'd like to see done, but hate's a tough word for me, but I hate to see people hurting.
Thank you. Derek Bickle.
I don't hate anything about Wilmington, obviously. I don't think you're going to get that from anybody up here. I don't think anybody would live here if we did, if we hated something. Obviously, to be different from obviously jobs and economic development and poverty rate and trying to get that the city out of those is something that I despise as well. Two other, I guess, things to be different to tell you about that really, really bugs me. One, I think the Market Street Road Diet program needs to be sped up with the DOT. Getting that down, everybody's been down straight from Koval to 17th and been scared to drive down it. You can imagine trying to ride a bicycle down that way as well. You know, there's a Market Street Road Diet in place. It's not going to be done till 2020, till Koval's extended out to MLK. I think that's something that needs to be looked at and make safer for everybody. The other one that's really, really big to me, to go, I guess, further down Market Street, would be the Water Street parking deck. The ugliest piece of downtown, if there is an ugly piece of downtown, is sitting there right now with orange cones on it. I would love to see some type of event lawn. I'd love to see a marquee piece of green space downtown that is lacking, that we could have an event lawn. We could have actual functioning, attractive bathrooms for tourists that come downtown and want, make people want to stay. Something along the lines of a children's playground as well, I would love to see envisioned there. You know, stuff that's, ideas have been brought together by the 2020 plan of a working downtown waterfront. Those type of things, I think, that have gotten lost along the way. But those are just two to be a little bit different, I guess, is the Water Street Parking Deck and the Market Street Road Diet Program.
Thank you very much. Kevin, would you repeat the question and direct it to Mr. Felix Cooper?
What do you hate about Wilmington that you think you would be able to fix if elected to office?
One thing that I hate about Wilmington is that I had to leave here about 4 or 5 years ago. And not of my choosing either. And I don't know how I could ever fix that. It's going to be up to the voters to fix that, I think.
Thank you very much. We don't have time to actually cycle through another full round of questions, so I think what we'll do now is turn to closing statements, and instead of 90 seconds, we'll give each of you 2 minutes for your closing statement. So it's an additional 30 seconds. If you're just joining us, you're tuned to a special live broadcast of the Wilmington City Council Candidates Forum. We're joined by 5 of 6 candidates running for 3 open seats, as well as a live studio audience. We've also been joined by WWAY's Kevin Wizzardo and WHQR's Katie O'Reilly. I'm moderator Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Since we ended the last question beginning with Kevin O'Grady, Earl Sheridan will deliver the first closing statement, and our timekeeper has no adjustments to make. Are you ready? She's ready. All right, Dr. Sheridan, please.
Well, I'd like to thank WHQR and WWAY for doing this forum. I think this is the last of our forums, and it's been quite an experience. The last question was about what you hate about Wilmington, but I want to start off with saying I love Wilmington. This is the place where I was born. I went away to school, and I came back here. I was very glad to come back here. This is a great city. I'd like to see it be an even greater city. I've had the opportunity for almost 8 years to serve on city council. I think the council that I serve on is a good council. I think we have people that work together well to try to make things better for our city. If you look at what's going on with government right now, from our national government down to many local governments, you got a lot of drama going on. You look at the county commission. What do you got? You got drama. You look at the state legislature. What do you got? You got drama. You look at our Congress. What do you got? You got drama and gridlock. But here in Wilmington, City Council is working well together to get things done. We're making improvements in our city. Yes, there are problems. There are problems like the crime problem, but I am convinced that we can work together to improve that. And I think I have been a part of that working together to improve things in Wilmington. I would love to have the opportunity to continue to do that and would ask for your vote on November the 5th and during early voting while that's going on. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Skip Watkins, your closing statement.
Thank you. And again, thanks to the forum. Thanks for everyone here. And I'm thankful this is the last forum. I'm teasing. With the exception of a short stint, I've been in Wilmington for 35 years. You know, I love this town. This is my town. I'm a financial advisor. I've taught economics part-time at a local college. And I want to bring that skill set to council. I believe I will offer to the citizens of Wilmington, the voters of Wilmington, a fresh face on council. Valerie and I are kids. We're a normal family. We're a working family. We're the people who live next door to you. I don't owe anybody anything as far as affiliations. I'm not a builder. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a financial advisor, but I work for myself. The only boss I have is sitting in the back row back there, my wife of 30 years. I alluded to it earlier, though, and I'm going to close with this, two things. I'm not afraid to be the only yes or no. I'm not afraid to make the tough choices. And I'm asking you to vote for me. If you are satisfied with the way things have been, then don't vote for me. But if you want to change, I represent that change. Early voting runs through November 2nd at the county complex down at Old Marketplace Mall. And that's the only place to go for absentee early voting. And I'll be out there most days. If you want to meet me, come shake my hand and ask me some questions. And also November 5th at your regular poll. But whether you vote for me or not, go vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Derek Bickle.
Thank you again for having me tonight. To me, I love Wilmington. I want to see Wilmington continue to flourish. To me, it's not satisfactory for Wilmington to be a city that sits and rests on its laurels. I'd rather it be in a perpetual state of self-improvement so we can take the best of Wilmington and make it even better. I want to bring not only my love for Wilmington and optimism for its future, but I want to bring a fresh new voice to council. As an IT professional, I help businesses achieve maximum efficiency every single day. I understand business, and I want to bring that pro-business attitude to Wilmington. I want to see Wilmington continue to grow, but in a way that enhances its livability and we can enhance its coastal and historic charm. To me, my platform really boils down to quality of life and what I think quality of life is. To me, quality of life is a self-flourishing city that we can live, work, play, and raise a family in, which includes, it's not limited to, excellent public safety, efficient city services, interesting and accessible green spaces, and building an environment conducive to economic and business development. As a father of young children, I think I'm in an authentic position to represent the hopes, needs, and concerns of families and the generation of all generations of raising families and growing in the city. I ask for your vote now through the early voting period and on November 5th. And I appreciate it once again for this time. And as I'm sure everybody up here, our thoughts and prayers go out for Charlie Rivenbarker's bill.
Thank you. Felix Cooper, 2 minutes for your closing statement.
I've lived in Wilmington, in downtown Wilmington, for almost 50 years, and I've dealt with many, many city councils, and I think the city council that we have right now probably is at the tops, in my opinion, of the city council and what it should do. And I've dealt with some very low-down city councils in my time, both in Wilmington and in Florida. And I just don't think the city council here is, it's, in my opinion, it's one of the best organized groups of elected officials of anywhere I've ever served. And I think it, I was told by one of the election officials, Charlie West, and I don't know whether any of you know him or not, but he was supposed to be the expert in manipulating and in getting votes. And I said, well, Charlie, what chance do you think I'll have of becoming a city councilman? I don't have any money. And I said, I probably will not spend $100. And he said, you have zero chances and no chances. So I can say whatever I want to right now. I have two prime things that I've got on my mind that I don't know whether they'll ever come to pass or not. But one is, I think the city should make the people who live in the city or work in the city pay for the services they get. And the second thing I have is a wild thing that I think the county should establish a countywide police force. I can't read that.
It means 15 seconds left.
Okay.
We'll give you that 15. Finish okay. Your thought.
And I think they could, the county should have a countywide police force managed and controlled by an elected city police chief. And I think that would eliminate a lot of the decisions that have to be made as far as shifting the services.
Time, thank you. Kevin O'Grady.
First, I want to thank WHQR and WWAY and Rachel and Kevin, Katie. I thank you all for the questions tonight and everybody who asked questions. I'm proud and I am honored that I have gotten to serve you for the past 4 years. And I think we have a lot to be proud of. In a world where government just doesn't seem to work, we've brought you a government that works. And I think the fact that you've listened to this debate tonight, and frankly, we've listened to seven of them now, there's very little disagreement. Most of our policies are generally agreed with. People are not really terribly critical of what we've done because we've been successful. We've lowered the crime rate, 25% down. I wish the election had been 90 days ago because not only was it down for 4 years, this year was down, but now we're challenged. But we didn't shirk from it. We gave the police what they need, and we are going to address the problem. This is a council that works. We're rebuilding the infrastructure. Even though the past history of the city has been to neglect it, we're addressing it. We bit that bullet. We raised your taxes to fix your infrastructure, and you didn't blink because you knew the money was going to a good purpose. We've preserved history. We've improved the ordinances down here to protect our old part of the city. We've reforested neighborhoods with the help of the neighborhoods themselves. We look to a future economy that brings high technical jobs, really good jobs that have careers to them, and bring them to this city, and make a healthier population that can enjoy a great quality of life on our Cross City Trail. It's a responsive government that goes out and seeks your opinion when it acts. I'm proud of my part. I think I've been an impact player from the beginning, to use a sports analogy. And if you vote for me, I promise you 4 more years, I'll keep trying to make this a government that works for you.
Thank you. This brings us to the end of our special live broadcast of the Wilmington City Council Candidates Forum. I'd like to thank our Wilmington City Council candidates who joined us this evening, Derek Bickle, Felix Cooper, Kevin O'Grady, Earl Sheridan, and Skip Watkins. Of course, Charlie Rivenbark was not able to be with us tonight due to a medical emergency. He sent his regrets, and we send him our best wishes for a speedy recovery. Thanks also to guest panelist Kevin Wizzardo of WWAY-TV3 and all the folks at WWAY, particularly Scott Pickey, who helped produce and broadcast this important local forum. Thanks also to our invaluable WHQR volunteers, Master Timekeeper Lindsay McGrath and Volunteer Extraordinaire Lori Goldwasser. Thanks to WHQR staff members George Scheibner, Asia Brown, and Katie O'Reilly. Thanks also to Station Manager Cleve Callison. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. And heartfelt thanks to our live audience, our listeners, and all of you who contributed thoughtful questions for our candidates this evening. Remember to vote. Early voting is underway in New Hanover County, and Election Day is Tuesday, November 5th. Thank you again, and good night.